Federico, you will be here Sunday to perform on the Rising Star series of the Gilmore Piano Festival. It is your first appearance, and I am also assuming that this will be your first trip to Kalamazoo, Michigan.
It is, yeah. It will be my first time playing in Kalamazoo, and my very first time also in the city. Yeah.
Is it part of a tour, or is this a one special performance and you'll return home to Italy?
No, indeed, it's a part of a tour. It should have been a quite big recital tour, but unfortunately, due to the pandemic, it has been a little bit difficult for my managers to organize all the rescheduled concerts. So at the end of the story, I will be first in Kalamazoo, and then I will move to San Francisco, ooh, California, and then to Vancouver, to Canada. And I will miss some places, San Jose, San Diego, Washington. I'm still happy to travel again, to be able to travel again to the States. I love the States, and to perform actually in Kalamazoo, San Francisco, and Vancouver, three new cities for me. Three debuts, yeah. So I'm extremely happy.
I hope you enjoy all of those cities. This is the traditional beginning of a concert season. And as a concert pianist, do you design a program that you will end up taking to various halls and audiences? And do you make sure that the program you pick out is one that will kind of fulfill you as you take it from place to place?
I think it's very important. I mean, to build up a program, a piece of music that can reflect your soul at its best. I think that program that I choose is very much linked to my last albums that I recording with Chandos Records, so Scarlatti, for example, Bach Busoni. At the end, I put it a very new work for me, which is the Schubert Fantasy. It is very rare to find and to be able to hear this piece, because originally Schubert wrote it for two pianists, four hands, and a great Russian pianist of the last century, Maria Greenberg, made a transcription for a solo piano. So I will be alone on stage and I will play this piece. But actually, it was very hard to find the score. You cannot find the recording on YouTube, on Spotify. I mean, it's very rare to find, to be able to hear this music. So I think that together with some important pieces of piano repertory like Chaconne by Bach Busoni, Scarlatti sonatas, and a big sonata by Mozart, to insert this, to put in a program this little gem, let's say, this little diamond of something quite rare, I think it's something that can make an appeal to a presenter or to an audience. And yeah, I'm quite happy about this, this repertory, I must say. I will play the same repertory in all these three cities.
I've never heard a solo version of this beautiful fantasy in F minor. It has one of the most gripping openings of anything Schubert wrote.
I played for my first time last week in Hamburg, Elbphilharmonie, and the emotion that I felt on stage was so big, so deep, so wide. It is a great piece.
The first thing I noticed was the concert, to my eye, has an arch to it. You're starting with Scarlatti, as you mentioned, and the techniques we hear include a lot of the Baroque style counterpoint and beautiful jewels of pieces. And you end with Bach and returning to the world that began the program, but it's a Busoni transcription. So we are not fully back in in the world where we began.
Yeah, it is a program that can be seen from different point of view. My first idea was to create two, let's say, not so much different part. So the first part, and the second part. But yes, in a way, quite different, because the first part with Scarlatti and Mozart is let's say. It's fresh, is more joyful, with the happiness of life, living happily, this kind of feeling. The second part with Schubert, very deep, very warm, and with a philosophical approach. It's a very deep piece, and Scarlatti and Bach Busoni, which is another eschatological, let's say, with a lot of Christological symbolism. You know, this second part is more dark, let's say, more with consciousness, with a lot of deep respect and consciousness we have to approach this music. So it is two sides of my personality, because I am this kind of person, and that was my first idea. But certainly we can choose another idea to see this program. Yeah, starting with Scarlatti, and then returning to the Baroque era, but with something in the middle, and that middle is Busoni. So at the end we arrive at, in a way, in our starting point, but with the consciousness that in the middle something happened, and Mozart happened, and the tragedy of the Schubert fantasy happened. So we have another glance, we have another eyes to see the Baroque period, and this other eyes is called Busoni, Ferruccio Busoni. So it is can be seen in this way as well.
I've heard many times pianists say that Busoni writes difficult music, but here he's treating the Chaconne from the Partita No. 2 by Bach. How true does he stay to the original, and how much Busoni does he add?
I think that this transcription is one of the best, if not the best transcription ever made in the history. I read a lot of essay about the religious points in the and the religious symbolism, the Christian symbolism in the original Chaconne by Bach, and bizarrely Bach wrote this beautiful piece with big amount of ideas and intentions just for one simple instrument. I mean, not an organ, not a full orchestra, not for the choir, just for one solo little instrument, but putting into one simple line a lot of meanings, a lot of deep meanings. Busoni has been able to reveal all these meanings, all these beautiful, deep philosophical contents, and put into a huge transcription, because the piano is no more only a piano, is sometimes a full symphonic orchestra, sometimes is a full organ. So it is like a sort of transfiguration. But I love this transcription, especially because all the ideas that in Bach you can only imagine in a way, with the transcription of Busoni, they are real. They are not illusion, not just an idea, but they are real. The sound of these ideas is real, is there, is in front of your eyes. And that's beautiful. I love it.
You are headed out to dinner right now. As I talk to you, it is much later in Italy, and you will be joining some friends. Playing piano is it's a lonely task at times, lots and lots of solo practice. Do you have a group of friends? Who are they, musicians? Are they people from all over, all different professions?
I have a lot of musician friends, because let's say that our world is so little, so small. So I am, however, happy to have some good friends in the music world, because it is important, you know, it's important to develop good relationship, to trust other musician, and to be able to esteem other ideas, other musician. That's mm-hmm. important. But I must say that I grew up in Brescia, which is a big city, really in between Milan and Venice, so in the north of Italy. And I grew up with friends here that they are not musicians at all. They are not musicians. I know these people since I was, very, very young, a little child. And I developed this friendship, and they are still my friends. But it's beautiful, because they are engineer, they are architect, mm-hmm. they are doctor. But in the middle of this company, I can be free. I mean, to talk not only specifically about music, but to talk about football or bitcoins or everything. It's okay. I mean, it's just stop my practice routine, which is very hard. I mean, because spending 6, 7, 8 hours per day in front of a piano is quite tricky. Mm. And so sometimes it's good to stop this routine and to open your mind and to relax a bit.
Mr. Goli, thank you for talking to me. And please, and I do hope that your travels are not stressful, very and relaxing, mm-hmm. and you enjoy your time in Kalamazoo and California and Canada.
Thank you. Thank you so much.